flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Don't forget that you can also stream the show. You can check the show out on YouTube. You can check it on Facebook, also on Twitter. Wherever you can stream video, you can catch our show. We have a lot to get into. We will talk a little bit of college football. We have half of the national championship picture together. Notre Dame yesterday won 27-24 over Penn State. Rob bet on Notre Dame to win the national championship. He is 1 hour away from being able to cash that winning ticket. We are going to talk a lot about wild card weekend in the National Football League. We have 6 games coming up on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The game on Monday between the Rams and the Vikings has been moved from Los Angeles to Glendale, Arizona. We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. I also got an email yesterday, and I imagine that many of you got a very similar email from the Kansas City Chiefs. They are starting to put out a survey regarding their new stadium or a possible renovation to the stadium that they have. We'll get to that momentarily. Rob, we are still hoping and waiting for Pizza Tassio to come through. At this point, Pizza Tassio is a friend of the show. I want them to continue on board. It is out of my control. It's out of your control. I am hopeful that we will have a pizza giveaway again starting next week as we get you ready for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. But I still would like for you guys to tell one friend to listen to the show and tune in every day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan, or if you were streaming this on YouTube. All right, let's talk about the email that I got that I also imagine many of you got from the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday and what my major takeaway was. I don't think I'm saying anything that's going to be earth-shattering, at least this first part of this monologue. It is going to be significantly more expensive to watch the Kansas City Chiefs in their new stadium. Basically, every single slide that they showed you was telling you of how much more it is going to be. Now, they introduced the concept of a personal seat license. Now, that is not a new concept by any means. There are certainly other teams and other stadiums in the National Football League that have that. But with how many pages and how much time in this survey was dedicated to the idea of a personal seat license, they are telling you, you've been getting a great deal in Kansas City for the last 25, 30 years or so. And as you are now paying for a dynasty and you are paying for the house that Patrick Mahomes is going to play in, it is going to cost you a lot more than you've been getting away with in years past. It was just too much time dedicated to the idea of a personal seat license. There was one stretch in this survey, and Rob, you and I took it together. They had 10 separate pages that was dedicated to different parts of the stadium and how much it was going to cost for this and how much it was going to cost for that. And just the idea of a personal seat license. Now, for those of you that don't know what a personal seat license is, let me explain it as simplistically as I can. This is basically a cover charge. So I'm going to read to you what it says on the Rams website for SoFi Stadium, just to give you an idea. So a personal seat license is a one-time deposit that is mandated to go towards the construction of SoFi Stadium, giving the fan the right to purchase season tickets and playoff tickets to Rams games through 2068. So basically how this works is, let's say that you have seats in 340 row F and you want 1 and 2. Let's say that the personal seat license for that is $3,000. You pay a one-time $3,000 and you own those seats. For any Chiefs games, you get first dibs. For any playoff game, you get first dibs. Now, depending on where you sit, you also can buy that same seat for any event that they have. Let's say Beyonce comes into town. Let's say that Taylor Swift comes into town. Let's say the Final Four is here. Let's say that WrestleMania ends up happening at Arrowhead Stadium. You get first dibs on those seats because you own the license for those seats. Now, you can buy those seats and then resell them. Let's say you get a chance to get Super Bowl tickets at cost. You can now sell those tickets at what you paid for, or you can gouge the price up. However you want to do, you own those tickets, you own those seats. They don't have that right now. If you look at the new stadiums around the country, this is the thing. They have this in Atlanta. They have this in Las Vegas. They have this in Los Angeles. If you are building one of these new stadiums, one of the ways that they are getting you to help pay for the construction of that stadium is through a personal seat license. Rob did the math. Rob, I don't want to say this incorrectly because you told me the number. What was the number that you told me earlier based on the rough estimate of how many season ticket holders and how much money you think they could possibly be able to generate almost in an instant?
So this is not based on any actual hard numbers. I was just using rough approximations just for the sake of numbers. Let's just say the average personal seat license costs $5,000. It'll cost more for some people, less for others. Let's just say $5,000. We like clean numbers on this show. And let's say they have a season ticket base of what? Let's say $55,000. That's a fine number. It might be more. It might be less. I don't know. Let's just say that's their season ticket base. That means based on personal seat licenses, bing, bang, boom, $270 million pocketed by the Chiefs.
So if you are wondering how they are going to pay for some of this is going to come from your tax dollars. Some is going to come from the state, whether it's in Missouri, whether it's in Kansas with the Star Bonds. Some of how they are planning on paying for the stadium is through these personal seat licenses. I think they essentially told you that in this survey is that they are seriously considering that. That wasn't the only thing that they said, but I do think that that was the primary focus of this, was to gauge how you feel about this concept. I also noticed one thing that was in there that is very different from what they currently have at Arrowhead Stadium. They were really introducing the idea of a general admission seat. Now, they're not the only team in the NFL that would have this. The Cowboys have something very similar, kind of like a SRO. You can buy a ticket. You don't have a seat, kind of like how they have at Kauffman, how you can just buy a seat and then go out in the Pepsi party porch. But they were also introducing this idea, Rob, for seats. Hey, we're going to put you up in the upper deck behind the end zone. This is going to be a general admission seat. You're going to have to pay for it, but you're going to have a general admission. You can move around depending on when you get here. They did seem pretty open to the idea of doing this, and they had multiple sections in the stadium where this was going to be a possibility. So if you were trying to take away any logic or conclusions from this, I think the Chiefs are strongly considering having some form of general admission in their new stadium. Not all the seats are going to be like that. Just select pockets of the stadium, I think, would be like that. But they spent too much time in this survey asking you how you feel about it, and they had different sections. Where would you want it? Would you want it here? Would you want it there? That is going to be part of their plan. And it makes sense to me to have a general admission where you can determine for any game how much that seat is. Maybe for this game, it costs this price. You feel like people are getting a little bit of a deal. But for this game, you charge this amount. So I do think that the new stadium is going to include some form of a general admission. Another part in there, and they didn't spend nearly as much on this as I thought they potentially would, but I also think that the question is pretty straightforward. Inside this survey that the Chiefs sent out, they had a question. And the question was, on a scale from 1 to 3, where do you want the stadium to be? Do you want the stadium to be in the Truman Sports Complex? Do you want the stadium to be a new stadium but still on the Missouri side? Or do you want the stadium to be in Kansas? I actually think that's the wrong way to look at it if you were the Kansas City Chiefs. I actually think that there's three options, maybe a little bit different than the one that they presented. I think option one is, and I think this is, I think the Chiefs will find this out in this survey that this is going to be the number one answer. I believe that most people want them to spend a significant amount of money to renovate the stadium that they already have. Kind of like what we saw them do at Soldier Field with the Chicago Bears, kind of like what the Packers did with Lambeau Field. I think that most people want them to simply take $1 billion and modernize Arrowhead Stadium. Everybody loves it. People like the location of it. It is great. It has all the parking space that you need for tailgating. I think most people want the stadium to stay where it is. I want the stadium to stay where it is. If you ask me, do I want them to build a new stadium or renovate the old one? I would say renovating the old one. Now, I want a much better renovation than the one that they proposed a year ago that I don't really think was much of a renovation. I think it was, hey, we're going to build some new suites, we're going to build some VIP access, and you poors are going to pay for it. That's how it came off to me, and you guys and the people in Jackson County said, no, we do not want that. But I'm very much for a renovation of what they already have. Take $1.2 billion, let's fix this thing up for a season, and let's go. I think that's the best possible thing. I would then say option number two for me would be doing what the Cardinals did with their baseball stadium. They had old Busch Stadium. They then built new Busch Stadium right next to it. They tore the old one down. That's what the Yankees did. They had old Yankee Stadium. They built new Yankee Stadium. They tore the old one down. I'm for that. That's not my number one, but that's number two. That wasn't on this survey. And then the last one, and I know I'm looking at this from a resident of Missouri, but I got a right to voice my opinion in this survey the same way that you do. Number three would be moved to Kansas. This might surprise you guys. If they're not going to build a football stadium where they currently are, I'd rather them move to Kansas and stay in Missouri. I don't really think it makes sense for them to move to another location that's in Missouri than where they already are. Where would the stadium be? They're not moving 12 minutes down the road to where Independence Center is and tearing down the mall and building their football stadium there. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Where else on the 816 side of things do you think they're putting a new football stadium? This is different than the baseball conversation. The Chiefs need far more room than what the Royals are asking for. So it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you're not going to build a stadium or renovate the stadium on the complex of the Truman Sports Complex, then what are we doing here? Move over to Kansas, and I'll just have to get over it. But I do not want them to build a new stadium on the Missouri side if it is not where they currently are. And I also think in this survey that they were really gauging how important is having a dome to you guys. And the question of whether or not you want a dome is not really, I think, our question. I think for the most part, people in Kansas City want the stadium to be outdoors to some degree. I don't think you guys want them to build what Atlanta has, where they have a closed dome, or what Minnesota has. I don't think you guys want that. I don't go to the games, but I don't really want that. I like that it's open air. I like that it's what you think football should be in the Midwest. The Chiefs have a cold weather advantage. I don't have any problem with that. To me, the question is going to come down to how concerned are the Chiefs with having other events? Does Clark Hunt really want the Final Four? Well, you need to build a roof if you want the Final Four. Do the Chiefs really want WrestleMania? Well, you're probably going to have to build a roof there. If you're going to have WrestleMania in mid-April to late April, it kind of rains a lot during that time. So you're probably going to need to put some structure over it to allow people to attend this event. So as I'm reading this survey and you start to get a gauge on what the Chiefs really want your opinion on, they really want your opinion on personal seat licenses. How much money are you willing to spend to buy one of these personal seat licenses? Where do you want the stadium? And how important is them having a closed structure over it? Ultimately, all I really care about is where the stadium is going to be and how much is it going to cost. But there are those of you that spend far more money than I do going out to Chiefs games and spend far more time out there than I do. So I would highly encourage everybody listening. It doesn't matter if you're on the Jackson County side, the Johnson County side, you live in Clay County, Cass County, whatever other counties are around here, I would highly encourage you to go vote and participate in this survey that the Chiefs are currently offering. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the teams that are playing this weekend and Wild Card weekend. We're also going to head to Pittsburgh. Could Pittsburgh be heading to Kansas City next week after a big upset on the road against the Ravens? We'll find out. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. You can also stream the show on YouTube and Twitch. So today, we are going to take a stop at the four locations, the four teams that the Chiefs could possibly play in the next round of the postseason. We are going to take our first stop in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to be joined by Adam Crowley. He's friend of the show with 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh. Adam, man, happy to catch up with you, man. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you, Carrington. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Let's just start with this. What went wrong for the Pittsburgh Steelers the last four or five weeks of the season? Because this is a team that got off to an incredibly hot start and I think was one of the bigger surprises in the league. The last four games of the season, this team couldn't score. This team's defense really felt like it regressed, and Russell Wilson looked like the one that played that first season with the Broncos. What went wrong for the Steelers the final month of the season?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go and talk to people about the other three teams, I mean, we're not going to have time if I have to list all the things that went wrong with the Steelers over the last 4 weeks, but I'll try to crystallize it here. I think first and foremost, they were banged up at the outset, and they were never able to recover. Offensively, I think they had largely done it with smoke and mirrors this year, throw the ball deep or check it down. The running game has been all volume, and it hasn't been very effective on a yards per carry basis, but they've relied on the run. Against Cincinnati in the final game of that four-game stretch, they said, let's try to keep the ball away from Joe Burrow. We'll ground and pound. They ran the ball on 12 consecutive first downs apart from the two-minute drill prior to the two-minute warning, prior to the second half, excuse me. And they've become terribly predictable defensively. I mentioned the injuries, but you also have a lot of miscommunication, which could be part of that, but Mike Tomlin's been doing this for 17 years, and he's got his fingers all over the defense. So it's been a little bit of everything, and it's been a little bit of everything at different times. They also had a ton of good turnover luck in the first 13 games of the season, in the last four, not so much. So as Mike Tomlin would say, these issues are popcorn. There's a whole bunch.
Do you think there's any chance that the Steelers make a change at quarterback and go with Justin Fields? It just felt to me the last couple of games watching them, the game against Kansas City and also the regular season finale against Cincinnati, it feels like that Pittsburgh offense just needs some kind of spark, and I'm not really sure that spark can come from Russell Wilson.
I could not agree more. If I were Mike Tomlin, I would start Justin Fields in this game. Justin has been good. He's been effective when they've utilized him. Now, that's been few and far between. But in the first six games, he was pretty good. His legs led to some red zone efficiency. He threw the ball better than I think most people in Pittsburgh thought that he would. And he didn't turn the ball over. I would go with him in large part because Russell Wilson has taken 12 sacks in these last four games. And it's boom or bust. He's either getting sacked or he's throwing the deep ball. They don't move the ball. They don't matriculate the ball down the field. So if your offensive line can't block, and apart from George Pickens, nobody's getting open, why not go with a dynamic option? I would do that. Mike Tomlin won't. I would imagine you'll see him for a handful of plays on Saturday, but I don't think any more than that.
Do you think that Russell Wilson is still part of the long-term plan in Pittsburgh?
I do, and I would not have him come back next year, even if he miraculously beat the Ravens in this game. I think he turned into a pumpkin, but I think the way they view it is the cost is coming down on Russell Wilson, and I think they squint and they think, okay, if we can get another wide receiver opposite of George Pickens, if we can add a more dynamic running back this offseason, if we can give Russell Wilson weapons, then Russell Wilson can be more effective. And I just don't see it that way. He has never been a guy that throws the ball over the middle of the field. That really dried up in Denver. We've really seen him pay no attention to the middle of the field at the tail end here of the season in Pittsburgh. I don't think there's much to salvage here. He seems like a good guy. He's popular around town. I wouldn't bring him back, but I think they see his price tag going down, which means they can spend elsewhere on that offense.
Right now, we're talking to Adam Crowley for a few more minutes here. He is with 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, taking a closer look at the Steelers as they get ready for their matchup in a divisional game against the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get to the actual wild card game in a bit. I want to get some big picture stuff about the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you think the future looks like for George Pickens? I ask that question because he just doesn't seem like a personality that you can really win with. Like, if you were trying to kind of create guys that other players are going to rally around, and guys who are really going to be key locker room pieces, it just doesn't feel like he's that in Pittsburgh. He came off to me like he mentally checked out of their regular season finale, and I just don't know how you can depend on that guy long term. What do you think the plan is for Pickens in the future?
It's interesting because without him, they did nothing offensively. And prior to his injury, you know, he was looking every bit the number one wide receiver that they thought they had in him. His talent is unquestionable. He's an incredibly talented man. However, you're right. And in this game against Cincinnati, he wasn't targeted a ton early, and then I think he moped about it. And he got into it with a fan on the sideline, had to be held back by Pat Freiermuth, had three drops. And this is the story of George Pickens. He's a better football player than Deontay Johnson, but they've got a lot of the same other traits. I don't think the Steelers were ever comfortable paying him this upcoming offseason. If they were going to pay George Pickens the $25, the $30 million, the $32 million, whatever the going rate is, I don't think they would have been poking around Brandon Ayuk. I don't think they would have been poking around some of the names we heard at the trade deadline, because the Steelers are not going to pay two wide receivers that kind of money. Now, they didn't get one of those guys, but I don't think it's a big leap to say if they were going to pay a Brandon Ayuk, then they were never planning on paying George Pickens. I think the options this offseason are either A, they don't pay him and he comes back next year as a lame duck and he sings for his supper, or B, they look and see what kind of suitors they're going to be. But I definitely don't see them giving him a long-term contract this offseason.
Everything about the George Pickens situation sounds a lot like what happened in Kansas City with Marcus Peters. No one has ever questioned whether or not Marcus Peters could play or not, but there just came a breaking point where you can't get to where you want to go with that guy in your locker room, and you're going to have to cut ties. That's kind of how I'm looking at it from the outside with Pickens in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I hate when people say things like he's a bad guy. I have no idea if George Pickens is a good guy or a bad guy. He's an emotional guy, and I think he's an immature guy. He's quit on plays this year. He's popped off on social media. That was last year. He's taken penalties at the end of games, fighting with Greg Newsome of the Cleveland Browns through the end zone in a Hail Mary situation. These are things that winners do not do, and the Steelers shipped Deontay Johnson out of town for doing some of those same things. So he's not going to be around for long. The question is he going to be back next year? I'm leaning 45% chance of him being in Pittsburgh next year, but I don't think he gets that long-term deal.
All right, let's talk about the head coach and Mike Tomlin. It feels like the outside noise is starting to get a lot louder about Tomlin potentially moving on. I'm sure you've heard Cowherd. He's been, for the last 2 weeks, he's been throwing out the possibility of the Bears trading for Mike Tomlin. I don't think that's going to happen, but I am curious, if you walk downtown in Pittsburgh and you ask 1,000 Steelers fans, what do you want to happen to Mike Tomlin at the end of this season? What would the split be? What do fans want to happen with Mike Tomlin?
I think the majority would say it's time for him to move on. He's a heck of a coach. He's a heck of a man. I feel confident in saying that in my moments that I've had with him one-on-one. He's a good guy. He's won a lot of football games. I just think it's stale at this point. And the playoff failures of the last 7 years cannot be overlooked. The Steelers aren't even competitive in these playoff games. The defense has been abhorrent. He's a defensive coach by trade. And I believe there's only been four coaches in the history of the National Football League that have gone 7 years without winning a playoff game with the same organization and got a chance to come back for the eighth. He will be back, but I think the majority of people in Pittsburgh think that it's time for him to move on. And I think that most would want him traded, not fired, because there's still respect for Mike Tomlin, but you can't argue with the recent results. And for all the people who say, hey, he has had bad quarterback play these last couple of years, even at the tail end of Ben's career, he also didn't do enough when Ben was in his prime, and he has a massive say in the personnel decisions this team makes. Mike Tomlin is not just the coach. He's also partial general manager. So any quarterback that walks through that door is also handpicked by Mike Tomlin. I think it's time. I think the majority of Pittsburghers think it's time. But I do think that most, like me, don't want to see him fired. But if you can get an asset and you can make it look a little cleaner, I think that would be the ideal situation.
Adam, what chances are you giving them against the Baltimore Ravens? Because this is a divisional game. It's hard to beat a team three times, all of those things. This Pittsburgh team is just limp to the finish line, and they're going up against a team that I think is just better than them across the board. I think they have a better coach, a better quarterback, better skill position players on offense. Their defense, the Ravens' defense, is starting to play a lot better, and the Steelers team hasn't been able to score. I think this thing could possibly get ugly. What chances do you give Pittsburgh to win on Saturday night?
So I've said a lot of negative things to you, buddy. But I do think they've got a chance, and the reason is because of how they've played Baltimore. 8 out of the last 10 times they played them, they beat them. This year, they beat them in the first matchup. The second matchup, the Steelers were ravaged by injuries, and Russell Wilson had a couple of terrible turnovers. But even so, the Steelers were down by just a touchdown late in the game. Lamar Jackson has 9 touchdowns and 9 total turnovers in his career against the Steelers, which, if you look at his career, that's a sizable chunk of his turnovers. And his losses, frankly, have come against Pittsburgh. He's 2-5 as a starting quarterback against them. And Mike Tomlin is 21-16 against Harbaugh. They could have drawn any other team, AFC or NFC, in the playoffs, and I would have picked the opponent to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm a little split on this one, though, because of their mastery over the Ravens. 21-15, Tomlin against Harbaugh. Harbaugh kind of makes some questionable decisions at the end of these games. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout. And if it's not a blowout, can Lamar Jackson, who's got a 75 quarterback rating in the postseason and a bad quarterback rating overall against Pittsburgh, can he overcome those demons and make a big-time game-winning play at the end? We haven't seen it much against Pittsburgh. So I think it plays out tight, and it comes down to number 8. Can he be the Superman that he is more often than not in the regular season, or is he going to be playoff Lamar?
How mad are people in Pittsburgh about Penn State and what happened last night?
Well, it's split pretty good. In Allegheny County, where Pittsburgh is, there's a huge alumni base of Penn State fans, but there's also a bunch of University of Pittsburgh fans, and University of Pittsburgh fans hate Penn State. So it was interesting opening up the phone lines this morning and getting kind of that back and forth. Penn State fans, I think, are more mad at Drew Aller, than they are with James Franklin. I'd personally be mad at both. James Franklin, I know that you have a guy fall down and Drew Aller throws a really bad interception at the end, but you're up by 10, and then you're up by 7 with 7 minutes and 55 seconds left. Find a way to get the thing done. The sense that I'm getting from Penn State fans around here is they think this is the best that it gets with Franklin. Final Four, and they kind of think he's hit his head on the ceiling here a little bit.
That is our guy, Adam Crowley, joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh, getting us the temperature of Pittsburgh as they head into their matchup against the Ravens Saturday night on Amazon. Also, Penn State, as they lost in the national semifinal in a heartbreaker to Notre Dame. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time.
Oh, no, I appreciate you having me on. And, hey, I'd love to talk to you next week.
You know what, Adam? I'd love to talk to you next week, too, because that means the Chiefs are once again going to the AFC Championship game.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Carrington. Take care, Maddie.
Absolutely. That is Adam Crowley joining us on the show today. I hope it's Pittsburgh coming to Kansas City. You can already start to make those plans and start to look ahead if you want to about what's going to happen with them. Rob, I'm curious to get your thoughts, and let's stay here with Pittsburgh for just a little bit. I'm curious to get your thoughts on what you would do with Tomlin, because it feels like Pittsburgh is in a very similar place that teams are with quarterbacks, kind of where the Cowboys are with Dak Prescott, where the Chiefs were with Alex Smith, right? We've got a good quarterback. We've got a capable quarterback. We don't think it's going to get much better than where we are. You either sign up for that long term the way that the Cowboys have with Dak Prescott or with Alex Smith. Hey, we think we can be better than this as an organization. Let's jump out. Let's go. Let's make an investment in the quarterback position, and let's dare to be great. Now, there have been teams that have tried that before. It doesn't work out. There have been teams that have tried it, and it worked out exactly how it worked out in Kansas City. I would move on from Mike Tomlin. It just feels like it's time. It feels like it's over. If they go out there Saturday night and get the brakes beat off them by the Baltimore Ravens, I just don't really know how you can turn around and sell to your fan base heading into the 2025-2026 season, hey, it's going to be different. I mean, Adam's saying they're going to bring back Russell Wilson. Adam's saying that they're going to put it on every... I don't know how you can plan on bringing back Mike Tomlin, Russell Wilson, and trying to change some of the other pieces, and you are expecting to get a different outcome at the end of the season. This is as good as it's going to get for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if they're fine being a 10-win team that's just going to lose in the first round of the postseason, I can't tell you otherwise. But if you have aspirations of being a title contender, I just don't know if Tomlin's the guy to get you back there.
I think you'll understand this analogy. I think if we went right now, we pulled people in Philadelphia and said, do you miss Andy Reid? Most people would say yes. They loved the Andy Reid era in Philadelphia. And when it was happening, most people loved the Andy Reid era. But at a certain point, you kind of feel like it's done all it can do, and you have to move on. You have to make a change for the sake of making a change. Remember Andy Reid, when he got hired by the Chiefs, the knock was the best he'll ever do is a conference title game. He's good enough to win a lot of games, but never win the big one. And there will be years where it bottoms out, but Andy's going to be Andy. That's what the news was, the verbiage, everything out of Philadelphia. And they still loved Andy Reid to this day, but they felt like it was time to move on. And you could say the Eagles have gotten worse since they moved on. They had Chip Kelly, which didn't work. Doug Peterson, which I guess won a Super Bowl, but didn't really work. And Nick Sirianni, who fights with fans, but is working right now. But they needed the change. They needed something different. It had been too long of status quo. That's what I think's happened in Pittsburgh. And I think Adam's point is fair. You don't want to fire the guy because of the level of success he has had. In an organization that has some of the best coaches in the history of football come through, he's one of them. He's one of those guys. He's like forever a made man because of his success in Pittsburgh. If they can find a way to trade him to the Saints or trade him to the Bears that need a head coach and make it feel clean that he goes out on his own terms, the Steelers go a separate way on their own terms, and you don't have to have that messy firing process, that's probably what's best for everyone, because it does feel like change needs to be made because the status quo is no longer acceptable.
So let's talk a little college football here. We'll get back to the NFL coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll go through some kind of NFL superlatives and get your thoughts on this. Rob, you have been on the Notre Dame bandwagon. That bandwagon has absolutely paid off. They won 27-24 yesterday against the Penn State Nittany Lions. I fell for the Penn State thing one too many times. I picked them earlier in the year to beat Ohio State. You remember Ohio State was a little shaky early on. I picked them to win their home game. They lost that game. And yesterday, the game was right there for the taking against Notre Dame, and they lost. Very simply put, yesterday, Notre Dame, to me, was just the more mentally tough team. The run that Jeremiah Love had to score that touchdown, I thought really summed up yesterday. Penn State ran the football more effectively, but it was really just the how he did it. To get hit, to have the knee issue, to tell the sideline reporters, I'm not going to hurl anybody, and then for that, you're just pushing. I just thought that when the game was critical, and I say this all the time, football games at this level are usually defined by 5 to 8 plays. Notre Dame made 6 of those plays yesterday, and that just ended up being the difference. Penn State had a chance. It was 24-24. They've got the football. You have the quarterback that people are telling me could potentially be an NFL player. You got the better run game. You got to figure out a way to get your team down the field and at least give them a field goal opportunity. He throws an interception. A Penn State wide receiver did not have a catch last night. No, I did not misspeak. That is not hyperbole. He did not complete a pass to one of their wide receivers yesterday. Notre Dame was the tougher team. They were the better prepared team. They were the better coach team yesterday. And that's why they're advancing to the national championship to play either Ohio State or Texas.
And I don't want to use the Vegas line as the end-all be-all, but Notre Dame will be an underdog no matter what in that game. But man, it was a tale of two halves last night. I watched almost every snap of that game. I watched a lot of that game. And I remember at halftime thinking, okay, well, Notre Dame got three, and they're only down seven. Either they're going to come in the locker room, they're going to band together, and they're going to say, hey, we're not out of this, and they're going to come out swinging, or Notre Dame's best is just not good enough because Penn State is outclassing them. In the second half, Notre Dame had a different energy. They had a different zest. They had a different physicality. You mentioned the Jeremiah Love and running the football. Notre Dame couldn't run at all in the first half. It was dire straits. I think it was like 2.6 yards per carry. They were running into a wall. And then all of a sudden, Jeremiah Love just, hey, I'm taking the governor off. I don't care that I'm battling injury. Here I come. And Notre Dame hit a new level. And it felt like once Notre Dame came out, went right down the field and scored to start the second half, it felt like Penn State was woozy. It felt like Penn State was on uneven ground for a little bit. Football's not like basketball. It's not a game of runs. But last night was a little bit of a game of runs. 10-0 Penn State, 17-0 run Notre Dame. And you just knew Notre Dame had another run in them. And the big mistake by Aller costing the game. This Notre Dame team, man, I'm not just saying this because I have money on them to win a national title game. They are national title quality, and there's a likability to them with Marcus Freeman at the helm.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. We have six NFL playoff games coming up over the next few days. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. You can also stream the show on YouTube.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com. You can also stream this show online, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, all of the above. All right, we will head back out around the country. We're going to take different stops throughout the course of the show. There are four teams that the Chiefs could play in the second round of the postseason. You just heard us. We left Pittsburgh to take a stop there. We'll continue that as the show goes around. If you missed it, there is a survey right now that you can take. As a Chiefs fan that the team put out there, where do you want the stadium to be? Do you want the stadium to have a roof? Are you open to personal seat licenses? I would encourage every single person listening, just as a resident of the Kansas City area, to sign up for this and let them know how you feel about the future of the Kansas City Chiefs and where they can potentially play. All right, the Chiefs, they don't play until next week. So this week we get an opportunity to kind of focus in more on some of the other teams that, you know, they got to work on Wild Card Weekend. The Chiefs, they took care of their business. They don't have to work this weekend. Patrick Mahomes is having a baby this weekend. So we'll get back to the Chiefs coming up in a bit. But Rob, take it away here. Let's go around the NFL. And let's go around Wild Card Weekend.
Let's start our trip around Wild Card Weekend. By the way, pour some out for Super Wild Card Weekend. That was a better name for this, but that's not here nor there.
It was stupid.
It was so much better.
It was stupid is
super
what it was.
Super Wild Card Week.
Super Wild Card Weekend. It's not super anymore. Why is it not super anymore?
It's just pedestrian
now. You
know
why it's not super anymore? We saw those seven seeds they let into the tournament, and we realized those teams ain't nothing super about those teams. There's absolutely nothing super about the Broncos. No, not at all.
I mean, the checks are clear, and so it's been super for the owners.
Yeah, no, you ain't lying there.
Let's start with two teams that I think most of Kansas City fans will be pulling for this weekend. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Denver Broncos, because both of them could potentially knock out two of the biggest threats to the Chiefs in the AFC playoff picture. Carrington, Kansas City will be cheering hard for both the Steelers and Broncos, but of those two, who is more likely to get a win on just regular wild card weekend?
I'm going to say the Steelers are probably more likely to be able to pull off the upset. The Steelers have just historically matched up really well against the Ravens, especially with Lamar Jackson. And I just don't trust rookie quarterbacks on the road in the playoffs. We got enough stats, enough data, and enough information that if your quarterback is a rookie and he's going on the road, I mean, I'm looking at it, in the last 10 years, they're 0-5 straight up and 1-4 against the spread. Now, I'm sure you'll ask me about the Commanders. They also fit this criteria with the rookie quarterback going on the road. It's just really, really difficult to do that, especially when you're going to a team that in theory is going to be well-rested like the Bills. I think people are overreacting to the Broncos, and now people think they're going to go on the road and pull off this upset. No chance for me. Buffalo, in my opinion, has been the third best team in the National Football League this season. I think they're going to take care of business at home. So by that logic, reason of deduction, I got to take the Steelers as more likely to be able to pull off the upset.
You mentioned the Commanders. Let's pivot to that game. They are one of three teams that are a straight up 3-point dog. It is Houston, Washington, and the Los Angeles Rams. Carrington, those three teams are in more winnable games, I would say. Of those three, the left hand up, who are we? We're Commanders, the Houston Texans, or the Los Angeles Rams. Who is most likely to get a win?
Can you fade the music down, please? Because you know the rule on this show. If you're going to mention the Commanders, please do it correctly.
Those haters can't stand up. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders.
All right. Ask your question again, please, sir.
Between the Commanders, Rams, and Texans, they're all dogs this weekend during regular wild card weekend. Who is more likely to get a win straight up? Because we know something weird is going to happen this weekend.
Well, I just told you the stat when it comes to rookie quarterbacks. I'm not picking the Commanders to beat Tampa Bay. I actually think Tampa Bay has been pretty good when Mike Evans has been healthy. I think Tampa wins their game at home, so let's eliminate the Commanders from that. The Texans, they just feel like a team that just doesn't have enough bodies right now. They have been a drastically different team since the Tank Dell injury. They also can't block and protect up front. The Texans are going up against a team with a better coach, better quarterback, and just more things. So I think the Chargers are going to win that game as well. I like the Rams here. I think it's a little bit of a coin flip game. You and I also can kind of see how this thing goes, right? With everything that's happening off the field in California, the Rams just put together an inspired effort and go out there and win. I like the Rams to possibly pull off an upset. I really do. You can just see it. The storybook. Sean McVay saying they did it for all the people back home. We get some heart-wrenching story right there on the field of how Sean McVay lost his childhood home or something. You can just see it, man. The football gods want the Rams to win this weekend.
You can't quit the Rams, can you?
No, not at all. I've never quit them.
You did for a minute this season, and then they won a big game in Seattle, and you were back, baby. You were out for a minute.
Yeah, I was out for about 2 weeks.
Can't quit them. Speaking of the Los Angeles Rams, they are the biggest story in the National Football League, but nothing to do with the actual play on the field is, as you mentioned, the horrific wildfires we're seeing all across Los Angeles that is costing people their homes and much, much more. The NFL announced they are moving the game to Glendale, Arizona, site of the Arizona Cardinals' home stadium. So Monday Night Football is now Vikings at Rams at Glendale. Is it fair or unfair to the Rams that, considering the situation, they are having their home game moved out of Los Angeles and into Arizona?
Well, they don't really have a choice. They had to end up moving the game. So I don't know if fair really plays itself into it. I was just really surprised that this game was not moved to Las Vegas as opposed to being moved to Glendale. At this point, Vegas and LA, with how close they are to each other, the ease in which it is to get there, I just thought that Vegas made a little bit more sense. The Raiders are not playing this weekend. They had a soccer game, but that game doesn't come up until the 18th. So they were going to wait until Tuesday to even start to get the field prepped and ready for the soccer game. I'm just not really sure why this game wasn't moved to Las Vegas as opposed to Los Angeles. I would guess, just if you just polled people, because I actually saw a stat earlier today that Vegas actually has the highest percent of transplants of any state in the union. Like 72% of people that currently live in Nevada don't end up living or are not actually originally from there. I would guess the number one place that people grew up that live in now in Las Vegas is actually from Los Angeles. I just don't really understand why they didn't end up moving there as opposed to moving to Glendale. I actually was reading, too, as well, that they think it could actually end up being a Vikings home game just because a lot of people grew up in a cold place, now want to move somewhere warm. They now live in Arizona. They actually think that it could turn into a Vikings home game, and that's what the Rams were upset about, moving there as opposed to moving to Las Vegas.
I mean, I feel bad for the Rams because there's no perfect answer, but I think Vikings fans are going to take over that stadium regardless.
Yeah.
I forget the year. Remember when Chris Jones got all angry at Chiefs fans because what fan base came into Arrowhead and had fans everywhere? It was the Vikings. So it stinks for the Rams for a lot of reasons, but I think complaining that Arizona's going to have more Vikings fans, I think Vegas would have had more Vikings fans. I think L.A. would have had more Vikings fans. Vikings fans travel.
I don't know about L.A.
It would have been close. Vikings fans travel really well. Mm-hmm. You're telling me you get a chance to leave Minnesota in January to
That's
go to
fair.
L.A.? Come
That's,
on
I
now.
I can argue that. That's fair.
All right, Carrington, our final question is on the field. The biggest story in the National Football League this weekend is actually the health of Jalen Hurts. He did practice yesterday and with the helmet on. It was all a buzz around Twitter. Look, he's practicing.
He practiced and had a helmet.
Look at that. He has a helmet on when he's practicing.
Kind of need that to play football.
I mean, he's wearing the required safety gear, but okay, whatever.
Required uniform.
Yeah, he's doing what he's supposed to do. But with his health status, do you think Philly could be in trouble? They are facing what a lot of people thought could be the best team in the NFC.
Why you
preseason.
Say a lot of people like that when it was me?
Could've
See
been,
what I mean?
Could have been anyone. There were some people in afternoons. There were some people other places probably. I don't know. But a lot of people were hot on the Packers. They're headed to Philly this weekend. Could the Eagles be in trouble?
No. I just don't trust Green Bay. You gave me opportunities to trust you. You didn't come through. You lost to Philadelphia. You lost both games to Minnesota. You lost both games to Detroit. No, I can't pick you. Not at all. Not even a little bit can I pick you. No. Not against a team that had a bye week last week, a team that is going to be healthy. No, I can't do it. These two teams played to kick off the season. The Packers couldn't stop Saquon Barkley. Now, a lot of teams couldn't stop him, but the first time these two teams played each other, Saquon had 109 yards and two touchdowns, and A.J. Brown had 119 yards and a touchdown. If you can't stop Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown, how in the world can I pick you to beat the Philadelphia Eagles? You don't beat the Philadelphia Eagles. I would go ahead and start making vacation plans if I was the Green Bay Packers. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to continue our trip around the National Football League. There are four teams that the Chiefs could play in the second round of the postseason. We'll continue that next. Keep it right here. So drive.